I've never remember seeing that in the 70s. But.
And you know what they say, if you can remember the 70s, you won't there.
When that one was closed, the next one was the long haul, building the foundation for a long, you know, for the long journey. And that was...
It was a long one.
It was, it was a long series. I've noticed over time my prayers changing.
Right.
And that's exactly. A good thing. Now it's not... help me do this, help me do that. It's help me to understand you better. Help me to understand your will. Help me to represent you better. Help me to show kindness to this person.
I had a fast food prayer life. I need this, that.
They got your order wrong.
Yeah, I come back. I asked for pickles.
But at the same time, I don't think he tells us every little step, every little day. If he does, that's not a walk.
If I know my future, I get arrogant. I do not trust in God. I trust in myself. If I go day to day, I trust in God.
Man, I miss you guys. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be
everybody.
Back.
Yeah. The 167.
It's been a while, man.
Pastor Ben.
Accountant Kenny.
Accountant Kenny.
Kenny the Jet.
I'm Garrett.
Ben.
Yeah.
I've had, it's weird to go 2 weeks. I know we've had 2 week breaks, but I've had some, like a little, a crutch to lean on because we've filmed two at a time so I could at least edit last week's show and keep me plugged in. But I've not, it's been 2 whole weeks without a show.
Yeah.
So this feels different coming back in here. So
you forgot how to do it?
I think so. I had to go back and find the buttons and make sure it was all working okay. So I've cracked up two Sundays ago. I wasn't here this week, but two Sundays ago when we did the prelude to the business meeting.
Right.
I'm sitting there listening and, we go through all these steps, and then we get to the end, and Mel says, now, that was all a function of the Constitution. And basically, we sat here for 15 minutes to go through the process that we need to do to call an actual business meeting. And I'm like, you really should have said that 15 minutes ago. And all I could think about was you talking about the Constitution and people coming in and wanting to see a copy of the Constitution. I'm like, I want to see a copy of the Constitution
You know, I think more people were more confused about that than they were about what I said.
I thought we were ready to vote on it, and it was like, no, we're going to meet next week to vote on it. We had to go through this to meet.
I think more people got confused about that than, you know. So it was. I left there thinking, man, I know there's some confused people right now. I know I am.
Well, speaking of that, I do, and I told you this on Sunday, I do like what you said. That inspires me because I hadn't heard the full story. Why you came back.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of, and maybe that's where oftentimes...
To rebuild is what I'm talking about.
And oftentimes, you know, and I think it's imperative for a pastor, maybe I don't do it enough, that, okay, they need to have a vision of where we're going. But unfortunately, oftentimes what we faced over the last 2 years is we know what the vision is. We had a flooded hallway.
Yeah.
We know what the vision is. The ceiling crashed. Well, now we're getting past that, and now how do we move forward, and what is forward, and what are we going to be doing? Instead of rebuilding, now we're going to build disciples.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought about it the other night, you know, went home and just kind of weighed everything that we've talked about over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, we go back to, as a church, we're not a profit-making entity. We're a disciple-making entity.
Right, right.
And that's what we've got to focus on is making disciples. Not necessarily, oh, okay, did we have that much more? Now, I'm not, hey, there are going to be times you need that. You need to have something for a rainy day. But, man, we need to make sure we're making disciples before we're making profits. Profit. Not profits,
profits,
Profit, F-I.
I understand. I know what you're saying, but I want to backtrack that a little bit. Certain people were getting confused with for-profit and non-profit.
Yep.
If you show profit on a church, well, you're liable to lose your non-profit status.
Right. Well, especially, and then again, hey, you're going to be using it for other things, but we want to make sure that, for me personally, as a church, are we being good stewards, and are we doing the best that we can at making disciples, helping people grow in their walk with the Lord, helping introducing people to Christ, and then growing them in Christ. That if we lose sight of that, that's what we're here for.
Right. That's right. But the accounting is just completely different than for profit.
Yep.
The terms are different. Government, nonprofit, and for-profit. That's your three accounting disciplines. And so, but you don't want to show a profit. You want the revenue to equal expenditures. and that expenditures can be anything that serves your purpose.
Right.
What is the church's purpose?
Right.
Y'all need to hire me to keep the books. I'm real good at turning for-profit organizations into nonprofits. I can help that problem real quick. But now, the last couple of Sundays have been pretty interesting, and I guess maybe is the word to me. The business meeting of all things spoke to me a little bit a couple of weeks ago in something that you said in that. There's some parallels for me personally in my life, in what you were kind of talking about, and that you kind of came in at a rebuilding time, because about the time you came here was about the time my life was a complete
indeed
shambles.
Right.
So, indeed, thank
no,
you.
No, I remember
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I remember, so, yeah.
But
I,
it's lined I'm, up really interestingly there. And when you were saying, what you said about when they were putting the steeple on and God kind of said, now we're going to phase two.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I could kind of say the same thing in my life, except, good Lord, that was just phase one.
Don't believe it. I was thinking the same thing is, if that's phase one, man, I'm hoping phase two is not going to be like that.
Yeah. But then this Sunday, I was taking inventory a little bit. I was really glad this Sunday, in hindsight, that I wasn't able to be here physically. And that's, I don't usually say that. But this Sunday was, so there were about two or three places in my notes that I just put a star and said, just go back and watch it again. Because the notes themselves, I was having to pause to take
right,
notes.
Right.
And I couldn't have done that live. But I took inventory during the sermon the other day of the, because we're turning the page on a new series.
Yes.
You started the powerful prayer life of Paul. Or,
yep, Paul's powerful prayer.
I don't know how many P's you can pack into one P3, title.
P3 is what we've done. And it was so funny. Keaton, our IT guy, called me. I was at the beach. He said, I hadn't got a design for it, man. What do you want? And I said, I'm feeling a 1970s vibe. Give me a nice 70s vibe with a nice... And as soon as he made it, I said,
is this our bulletin? See, I didn't get the bulletin. I wasn't here. I had to, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I saw that on there was a YouTube
that's
thumbnail.
That's a 70s vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that in the 70s. But
you don't remember seeing that in the 70s?
No.
And you know what they say, if you can remember the 70s, you won't there.
Well... I don't have anything to
I mean,
come
I
back.
Won't
we're,
know,
we're, no comment. No comment. Yeah. Like you were saying, college, if I don't remember, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
So I was thinking back to the title series, because it's been cool from my seat that it's not been on purpose, obviously, from yours, but this is just the way God does things, I guess. Every series that you've done has been timely for where I was in that process. So 2 years ago, when I first started coming here again, you were doing Faith Versus Fear.
Right.
And that was at a scary time for me, because I'd just gone through a bunch and was still trying to clean up the pieces from it and was trying to get things back on track. And there were just a lot of, every sermon, I used to joke with Mama, I said, every single Sunday is like God cherry-picked for me. It's every single one is hitting on something I'm struggling with. And then when that one was closed, the next one was the long haul, mm-hmm. and getting, you know, building the foundation for a long, you know, for the long journey. And that was like, well, that's,
it was a long one.
It was, it was a long series. It lasted a long time.
It did last a long time.
It did last a while.
You named that appropriately.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
I think that one lasted
like
about
that.
A year.
I like that.
And then the face-to-face series was, you know, again, came at a time when I was really, a term that I jotted down from this week was, a point you were making is the difference in knowing God, mm-hmm. knowing about God and experiencing God are two
right.
totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the face-to-face series was kind of coinciding with that. So I'm looking at that and thinking, all right, prayer lifetime, let's see what this one's got in store. It was just a cool thing to kind of look back at the parallels over the last little bit and how you said we're rebuilding. I knew I was rebuilding a ministry. I didn't know I was rebuilding a church, too.
A building. Yeah, a building. Yeah. And a ministry, yes, but a building. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
And my rebuild project turned out to be a lot bigger than I thought I was signing up for, too, I guess, is it was my takeaway from it. But it was that was interesting. So you just never know where those things, something as simple as a thought you had in watching the steeple be
right.
put up was something that kind of, I was already kind of in that sermon thinking about those parallels a little bit. And then when you said that, and this is phase two, I looked up like, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is just phase one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so where we go from here? And another little just interesting story from the last couple of weeks. You said something on Sunday that it was refreshing for me to hear you say this, and it was probably one of the bigger lines, I think, of the sermon. You said a loveless faith is a reason to doubt your salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was so glad to hear you say that because 2 weeks ago on the show when I was doing the write-up, we didn't really have a clear theme or a title. I wasn't really sure what I was calling it when I'm doing the description for it. I ended up kind of landing at a place where I was about to say something along those lines in the description even, because I'm taking things from at the end of Matthew, was Jesus is ascending back to heaven. He's saying, go make disciples and tell them to observe the things I told you to observe. Uh-huh. I thought, well, we ain't even observing them half the time. So if we're not observing them, then are we really disciples? And then I kind of scrapped the whole write-up and started it over at some point because I said, I'm not going to sit here and tell people if they don't love, they're going to hell. Okay,
right, that's just right.
But then you said it, so I feel better about it now. If you can
say
it. Well,
I think it's, and think about how that's worded.
Yeah.
You need to examine your salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is. I mean,
they'll know that you're my disciples because you love.
John makes it perfectly clear.
He
does.
That's
right. If you say you love God, you hate your brother. I mean, John says, point blank, you're a liar. As I said Sunday, don't hate the messenger.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what it says. And
I knew you thought that was big because you paused and said it twice. So it wasn't just me that thought that was a powerful.
It's huge to me, it your calling card as a Christian to me has always been, it's in your DNA, but your calling card is, do you love? And that's where he says, I see that your faith is bearing fruit. And that's what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. But it's also going to be what is. Are you saved? Then you're going to know it by your love.
And I do want to say something about that, because that's what I have been saying is, because Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord God with all your heart, then your neighbor. But I don't know if he was doing one or two, or they're both together.
Right. Well, I think they are. I think they are introvertly connected, or
yes,
they are.
You can't separate them.
That's right. That's right.
You said it great. I love the way you described it Sunday, the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical is the faith in God and the belief.
Yeah,
and
he
then
said,
hey,
man, since I've heard of it, I had not stopped giving thanks for your faith in our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the vertical. Now they're getting horizontal right. And the horizontal is with your fellow man.
And it is.
And they can't stand alone.
Right. No, I think they go together.
Although he does put one and two, but
right. but they are connected. As
I think
you love
he was
God,
answered the question
from the Old Testament.
Old Testament,
and I think it's one of as you pursue the Lord, and as your heart is captured by the Lord, and you want to love Him and please Him.
Yeah.
Then here's going to be the thing: you're going to also love people because God is love. And so if you're growing in Christ likeness, well, Christ is no greater love does man have than lay down life for his friends. So there you have, the greatest act of love is the one that you're supposed to be coming like.
But didn't Paul say the greatest commandment is love your brother? Or am I off on that somewhere? I'll have to look it up because I'm not
sure. Well, no, in Galatians 6, it talks about loving, and I don't know that it says the greatest commandment.
Yeah, it didn't say great, but it's essential.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he said the greatest commandment, but I think that was a new commandment. Well, that was the only new commandment Jesus gave, love your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's where, when you love the Lord, it should show up in your horizontal. Mm-hmm. Get the vertical right, your horizontal is going to be. And don't do it backwards, because some people think, oh, if I'm very nice, I get the horizontal right, that's going to make me right vertically.
Yeah.
No, the vertical's got to be in place first.
Just being nice.
So maybe that kind of answers that as far as one and two. Vertical has to be in place in order for the horizontal to be biblically. I mean, because you can be, there's a lot of nice people.
Yeah.
Well, they think they're nice.
No. Well, I mean, there's a lot of nice being the key.
Yeah.
And I know in the South, we always say, that's some good people.
Yeah.
No, the Bible says there's none good. We get that.
Yeah,
at the same time,
right, yeah.
Southerners
have our standard, there's a lot of nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as being righteous, that's a whole nother standard and a whole nother place we fall short.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and where my little ADD brain got to that last time, because there was nothing from the show that necessarily pointed to the title even really. There was Building Bridges is what I think we titled it. But it was what you were talking about in when you were at Caswell and going fishing and having a way to connect with them, being able to share from the whole time you were talking, I had the word empathy in my head. Yeah, having empathy, being able to connect with somebody else, being able to see their side of things a little bit. But then as I started to dig into it more in editing and all that kind of stuff, empathy by itself, it doesn't necessarily win anybody to Christ. It's a step in it. But empathy is a fruit of love. It's hard to have pure empathy. You can try to think of It's you can. How am I trying to say that? You can have empathy without love,
and you can have empathy without salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who can identify with other people's hurts. Sure. I think, and again, not saying anything to not questioning someone's salvation, but I think doctors, maybe nurses have more empathy for some people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Moms. Have empathy.
Yeah.
And you can see somebody suffering and your heart goes out for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, even before I was saved or the Lord changed my life, I'm telling you, I was a kid that if I saw, what was the old Jerry Lewis telethon? If I saw a sad story, I was calling and saying, I'll donate $5. And my mom was saying, who are you calling?
Yeah.
You know, because my heart went out for those kids.
Was it muscular dystrophy?
MS, I think, muscular sclerosis or muscular dystrophy. Anyway, your heart went out. As a kid, my heart went out for them that I'm calling saying, I got $10, I want to send it to you. And they took me up on it. I didn't know if that was legal or not. But, I mean, that's empathy. But there's also, when you're following Christ, I think one of the things you should have is a little more empathy and compassion. Your hurt and my heart, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, too. There are a lot of good people, but they're all in hell. The only people that are in heaven are the ones that got saved, repented of their sins. That's the American lie. I'm a good person.
Right.
There's only one American lie.
That's a big one.
To me, I feel like that's
They're
more
looking down on me. That's another lie.
Yeah.
I doubt that they can get their minds off Christ, first of all. I mean, I think
in the South especially, we fall into that trap of they're a good old boy.
Good
people, good old boy. Man, I'm telling you. I mean, hey, I've had some great neighbors in the South. And I feel like I'm a good neighbor, but I've had some good neighbors in the South. But I know as far as salvation,
State
they lost.
A good neighbor too.
Was that
State Farm?
Yeah, but it's one of you can run into.
You said I've had some good neighbors.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of. State Farm
has a lot of good neighbors.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think it's one of we do. I know his mom and daddy, and they were good people, and the thing of it is, apart from being born again, apart from coming to Christ. There is no salvation, and I wanted to talk about, mentioned that Sunday of, since he'd heard of their salvation, but then he also heard of their sanctification.
Yeah.
It wasn't they just got saved and that was it. No, they were growing. Their profession was bearing fruit, and that's what we need to make sure that we're doing, is bearing fruit unto salvation.
This is, again, my trademark horrible analogies, but my mom said something the other day that was unusually profound. What I mean, but I don't think she meant it as profoundly as I probably took it, but I heard it and I was like, man, that's such a perfect analogy. So shout out, Mama, if you did mean to do it, then it worked. But she was talking about, they have a dog that is just, my dad has never loved a creature like he loves this dog. Okay? And he's always loved dogs. This is not, but for whatever reason, this dog has got a special corner of his heart that Mama ain't even found, I don't think.
This dog found it. That's right.
She did. And Mom said something to me the other day about, one of the best ways you can show love for your dad is to love the dog. Right. And what she meant by that is that when somebody comes up and visits, or, if just relatives come over, or when I'm around the dog and playing with, you can just see his face light up when somebody's playing with the dog and rubbing her, and he gets
to a lot of his dog.
Yeah, and somebody's bragging on how smart she is or whatever. He gets a chance to brag about how smart she is. I mean, his face lights up. Well, she's had a vet visit this week that didn't go very well for her.
No.
Oh no, not that bad. They just said she was fat.
Oh,
she had to lose some weight. They've had to take her diet down a notch or 10. And that, I can tell, breaks Dad's heart.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he's sitting there eating and she's looking at him and he has to tell her no, I have never seen my dad look so sad as he did having to tell that dog. I thought he was about to leave the room so he would have to look at her.
I don't even want to eat.
No, I don't want to eat if you can't.
That's right.
But there's some strange synergy there between how we are with God. It's we're all his people, and he all loves us. So when you're not showing love for his children,
that's right,
it's breaking his heart, just like going into my dad's house and kicking his dog. Well, you want to go to my dad's house and kick his dog, and you'll find yourself outside real quick.
Say, you might get shot.
So it's not that foreign of a concept for us to be able to understand.
No, I totally get that.
You know, same thing with my kids. If you don't totally like my kids, I ain't going to like you probably.
Or look, and even take it one step further. I mean, if you're sitting there as dad and your kids are fighting and fussing with each other, dad's not going to like that. And, hey, there's no need to be doing that. So I think there's a lot of correlation there that that can help us to understand that horizontal and how it implies to the vertical.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking about on the way here, when you have that love from God, it's a different type of love than you can experience. I mean, I've loved people in my life, but it's stronger now, it's different now, it's broader now. I love more people. It's just as you get closer and closer to God, it's a different, you even experience love differently, and it's a good feeling. It's a joyful feeling. It makes it easier to be nice to people that you wouldn't usually be nice to. It makes it easier to care for people and to want to do good things for people. And it's not you're not doing things nice for the sake of getting the brownie point or anything like that. You're thankful for the opportunity to try to help somebody in some way, big, small, whatever. And it just makes life more fun. It makes it more enjoyable. The colors get brighter or whatever you would call it, you know.
For me, it's been, it's easy to be nice to people now. Because of the joy and the peace that I have in my heart. And it's easier for me to be, I'm not saying I do it perfect. I want to get that out of the way. But it's a whole lot easier to be sympathetic to people that are going through things. And it also helps me to read, when I'm reading the Bible, here's an example. I was reading the other day, Job and his wife. You know, she kind of gets a bad rep. Because she's just curse God and die. Well, when I read, I try to really, and this is why I don't read a whole lot per day, try to become involved in it. Why does she say that?
She just lost
10 children. Has anybody, I don't know of anybody that just lost 10 children in one day.
Yeah, and been happy.
So I can understand why she said that, because she was mad that her children were gone. Yep. Now, if she lived, and I think she did, I hope she did, because I don't remember what happened at the end yet, but she had 10 more to replace those 10. But I don't know, you know, one is bad enough, and I'm not going to say one is 10 or worse than one, because to me it's probably all the same. Mm-hmm. But to have your whole world turned upside down, and I can see, well, I'm not praising God today. I can kind of see that I'm not happy about that. So I can see why she lashed out.
Sure.
But a lot of people say, well, that's why the devil didn't kill her.
He did take her.
Yeah, because.
Leave her.
She suffered too.
Yeah.
She suffered greatly too.
Yeah.
So, well, what she said, and I'm not condoning what she said, just curse God and die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not condoning.
No, I ain't
but I can understand where she was coming from, because she was so hurt.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I wholeheartedly agree, because I think that can be applied to so many areas of the Bible. When we read and we're real quick to just kind of, oh, man, look at that, or that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. No, I think oftentimes put yourself in somebody's shoes. Right. And I think one of the things that helps, especially those who are going to love the way Christ wants us to love, is when we experience the grace of God, man, and we really experience the grace of God, you'll want to extend that grace to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have, I think the word of the day has been empathy. I think you will have more empathy for others to know that they're struggling. Or, man, they are really wrestling with this. And, I remember I used to wrestle with that. Or, hey, except for the grace of God, I'd be in the same boat. I mean, I say that over and over again, that, hey, man, don't judge or look down on somebody because they're wrestling with a particular sin. Man, except for the grace of God, I'd be in the same place, if not worse.
And I have to say, I've read that Job many a time, but I've always looked at it from Job's standpoint of view, not from the other side.
And most people do.
Yeah.
I think when you're reading the Bible, it's I'm commending, I guess, what you're saying there, highlighting what you're saying there. I think it's a really wise thing to do, to read the same story and maybe read it from four or five, or, you know, every person's perspective, right? I mean, it's there was a interesting movie that came out years ago called Vantage Point. It was about an assassination attempt or something like that, and the entire movie was replaying the same 5-minute segment from 20 different times, from different perspectives, and seeing how it was different.
I don't think I saw it, but I remember hearing it, thinking, yeah, pretty unique.
It was interesting for like the first 7 renditions of it. After a while, I was like, okay, I get it. He dies in the end. we don't have to keep replaying.
We don't know how, though.
But it was interesting. I think at the end, like, you finally figure out who did it or something. It shoots it. It shows it from the killer's perspective. Maybe, I don't know. But it's interesting just seeing things from different sides of the coin, seeing different angles. You'll get different things from each version, and I think that's a new thing probably as I've gone through the Bible is reading, you know, seeing different sides of it. And okay, maybe in church we've always talked about this person's perspective, but what about this person's perspective?
And then when you stop and think about it, the Gospels are a lot like that. You got four different people who are seeing the same thing, and one may highlight this that they saw, and somebody may highlight something else they saw.
So exactly.
I think that's one of the ways why I like the gospel so much, or reading basically the same. If it's in Luke, let's look at it in Mark to make sure that, okay, why did he say it this way, and why did Luke say it the other way?
They focus on different things. We all focus on different things. But the story is, the main points, every one of them have the main points.
Mm-hmm.
He was crucified, he died, he rose again.
Right.
But everybody saw things differently.
Yeah. Oh yeah, even maybe the angels at the tomb, or even as they were interviewing people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Luke was not an eyewitness, but Luke interviewed people left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke had historically accurate stuff, but his was straight up for the Gospel of Luke was interviews. Mm-hmm. Because he had no idea what Mary said.
Yeah.
But when you read Luke 2, man, you get there's a beautiful, beautiful prayer of what Mary prays.
Yeah, and the you've said something before about your experiences and things that, you know, going through different experiences prepares you to be able to help somebody else through that same experience. You've said that a bunch of times.
Okay.
That your experience. Yeah, sorry,
I you stole it from me.
For the
I didn't ever.
Actually, we stole it from Paul.
Okay.
Y'all are fighting over who stole it
from Jesus.
There you go.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4.
Yeah.
It says, let's go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now here it is. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, what I've gone through and I've received comfort from God, I now am able to pass that comfort on to someone else who's hurting in the same regard.
Yeah, in the same
you've been through that.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I was thinking about just a second ago when you were talking about that is that type of love and that type of empathy also goes a really long way when it comes to not judging other people. Mm-hmm. Because if you can have that empathy and put yourself in those shoes, it becomes harder to judge. It ain't impossible. I can do it. But it's harder to judge somebody else when you can say, okay, well, yes, what she said was wrong. You know, she shouldn't have said, curse God and die. Okay.
Right.
But if I were in that situation, I probably would have made a mistake and said something I shouldn't have said, too. In fact, have I ever been in a situation where I didn't do something exactly the way God wanted? Yeah. Mm, oh, yeah, I've done that, too. Yeah.
And I wouldn't want people writing down everything I say. Years and thousands of years later.
And I'm sure if Job was a believer, I'm sure she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of anybody that suffered more than... I don't know who in the Bible that would suffer more than losing 10 children at one time. We talk about Paul.
Yeah.
We talk about Jeremiah. And humanly, Paul went through an awful lot.
From an emotional standpoint?
Yeah, pain, humanly. Yeah. She's probably a gold medal winner.
Yeah.
I just never really thought about it
because it's just one line.
Yeah.
You know, that she just disappears off.
That's the one thing she says, right? Isn't that the one line that she has in that entire story?
She came back a little bit later, but maybe I'm wrong there. Around chapter 40, 42, I thought she was mentioned again.
You're pretty good.
No, don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that.
He had 10 more children, so she's around somewhere.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But yeah. You might be right. But don't anyway, Sheila,
I'm not sure
if
she says
if he's right, that's two verses in the whole Bible. I think we know a lot about Paul, his writings.
Yeah, yeah.
Through his writings.
Paul might be the king of physical suffering from...
Yeah. For the long haul.
I don't know. Jeremiah had a hard time, too.
Yeah, Jeremiah was thrown in a well and
stayed there for a while. Probably died in Egypt somewhere.
I don't know, though. Being stoned a couple of times and whipped and beaten with rods, I don't know. I think Paul's up there. I'd have to give it to him.
Well, as far as what we know, I guess.
Yeah.
But being sawed in half, yeah, I think women... That don't feel too good, I don't think.
I would imagine not. Yeah.
Come in one, now you're two.
I guess that's bonus points. That's like sticking it.
Well, I think that's what they say. That in that church tradition, Isaiah, sawed in half.
Yeah, I think. And I know Jeremiah was pretty much went through a whole lot, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that Isaiah's death is mentioned. Jeremiah, or his, not death, but his, well, I guess he did die after that. But Jeremiah's sufferings are mentioned.
Well, and another, we're talking about the sermon series, The Prayer Life of Paul, I'm excited to hear where this goes with that. Everything from Sunday was, it's seeking God's will and making, and that's really what you're praying for, other people to seek God's will, to experience God's presence. And it's funny, you said this, or I paraphrased it a little bit, but it's when you started the sermon, you were saying when you were a kid, you thought of prayers as, you thought of the color red.
Yeah, but, I was going to call it my red era.
Yeah, your red.
But nobody would get it, except for two Taylor Swift fans out there. See, he got it.
No, I was.
I'd have to explain it. Taylor Swift, the so-and-so era.
He's still trying to remember the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm
still back in the 70s. I've gotten to the 60s now.
Yeah.
I passed that. That 71, 72 is a killer.
So I was going to call it my red era, but I knew Renee would be the only one in the whole building that would even remotely. Although there's some
Reese
teenage
got
girls.
It. Yeah, Reese
would have
got
teenage girls that would have got it.
Renee likes them.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
But I was telling, I've completely forgot where I was going with that. And I took my medicine this morning. I'm still ADD.
No, it was prayer, and I called it my red era.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I treated prayer like I'm going to pull the fire extinguisher or the fire handle. It's emergency. Pull the case of emergency, or either I was looking for a man in a red suit. I wanted Santa Claus. So my prayer life was, God, help, help, help. God, give. And that's not necessarily what our prayer needs to be.
Yeah, and that's what our
Santa Claus prayer.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with asking God for those. It's at the same time, if that's the gist or the whole line of your prayer, man, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
And I used to pray that way. I used to be like going to the grocery store. I want this, I want that,
Give me a buffet or a cafeteria.
And it's like I'm not learning anything. And I think in my life, I've had to go through a lot of things so I wouldn't repeat them. Yeah. God could deliver me just like that.
Sure.
But for me to get it, and I'll tell you an illustration of trying to prove my point is when Caleb got his license, my son Caleb, or I bought him a truck. I don't know maybe he went to college, okay? Right. And he didn't have nothing invested in it. I told him, change your oil.
Oof.
Keep water in your radiator.
Yeah.
Later on, he ran, because he didn't have anything invested in it. Later on, it was parked off 42, close. Where's the junkyard up there? You know where I'm talking about? He had to tow it somewhere up there, 42.
Like the clams?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he ran it without water, tore the motor all
over. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a car that he paid for.
Yeah, I guarantee you
he vacuums it, mm-hmm. He cleans it, he services
it. It ain't never going to be out of water, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And why is he doing that? Because he has his money invested.
Yeah.
And a lot of times God has to answer my prayers because I don't have anything invested.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, the next time, it's the same principle. You teach someone to fish, you've fed them for life.
Mm-hmm.
Give them fish, you fed them a meal. It's the same, you know, same principle.
So help me understand in that analogy, because that's a great analogy. I'm loving it. So what does it mean when? And I would just use the term. Okay, I got skin in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. So what is it? How does that play out for? Okay, I've got skin in the game when I'm asking for it, or praying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to understand, because I think I know, but I want to.
This is quiz time for our listeners.
let's flesh that out, because I think that's very good.
When you got skin in the game?
Yeah. And I'm in my prayer life, so I'm kind of like, hey,
okay, you're doing the work.
Yeah.
Yes, you're doing the work. And you appreciate it. I know when he got that vehicle, I thought he would appreciate it, but he didn't.
Right. So I'm thinking along the lines of this, see if I'm on the same track. It's easy for me to say, Lord, I sure wish that my cousin would get saved. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm not out sharing the gospel actively, is that kind of like having skin in the game? Or is it, I guess that's what I'm trying to, what does it mean that I have skin in the game when I'm praying for it? I think for those that are listening, because that's a valid point that I'm just kind of, I ain't never really given much thought to that way. Because I totally get the analogy of, because I've got kids, I've seen it.
Yeah.
And believe me, my daughter keeps her house spotless now, and she never did at my house.
right.
Now that she's paying the rent.
Right. I think you don't repeat. You know, I had to work on some sin that was in my life.
Okay.
I wasn't delivered. I had to work hard. When I had skin in it, I didn't repeat it.
Yeah.
Because I had value in it. I had my time. I had invested in it. And I think a lot of times we don't get our prayers answered because it's a want. It's to fulfill that need for today.
Well, that's James. And James says that.
And since I had to work at it, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the deliverance. A lot of people think, you know, that I was just delivered and from alcohol in one day. No.
Yeah, a long time.
I had, I think, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 treatment centers, hospitalized at least 3 times. But I didn't have any work until I started Celebrate Recovery, started working at it. That's when my delivery came.
So let me ask you this, and maybe what I'm saying, and I think what I'm hearing is this, I think it goes back to Jesus' principle of he who is forgiven much loves much. Is that what I'm hearing in a way? That, hey, okay, God, I am so thankful for what you've done in my life. Therefore,
well, that is true.
To me, that kind of goes right along with what you're just saying. When we're talking about deliverance and everything else, that I've been forgiven so much. Now, you got skin in the game for sure.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I'm just, I'm loving this. This is making me think.
And I can help people.
Recalling what God has done for you and what you've experienced, not just what he's done for you, but the feelings, the emotions, the grace.
The freedom.
Yeah. Knowing what you've experienced through that, you really want to see others experience that. And the prayer life of, I was talking about this the other day with somebody, that I've noticed over time my prayers changing.
Right.
And that's a good thing. But it was what you said about my notes I put, prayer life isn't just help me or give me, right?
Yeah, yes,
because that's
for sure.
Probably what my prayer life was for a long, long time.
And for a lot of Christians.
Help me get this, help me do this, give me this, give me that.
God, make my life easy.
Or being thinking about others, help this person get this, give this person this.
So they can be.
And I was telling Mom the other day, that's not changed, but what comes after that is changing. Now it's not help me do this, help me do that. It's help me to understand you better. Help me to understand your will. Help me to represent you better. Help me to show kindness to this person. And when it's give me, it's not give me this item or give me this thing that I want. It's give me the wisdom to handle this situation. Yeah. It's give me the strength to handle this situation. So it changes what you're praying for. And your it's hard to put a word to this, but your motivation behind it, even when you're praying for the salvation of somebody else and praying for them to see it, it isn't, to me, just about not wanting to see the eternal suffering.
Yeah, don't want to see them.
It's so they can experience that same peace that comes from all this.
And I think that's part of what I was trying to, and I should have got, I like the way you put it, I wish I'd have said that. Because Paul doesn't stop with, I'm thankful for your salvation, period. Right.
That's it.
No, he said, now I'm praying for this. And I think that's the thing is, and I think that's, we are now getting to the, not only what we pray, but why we pray and how we pray. And that's the key that I believe is what it helps to have that relationship with the Lord, but it also helps of one of the things that the reason I wanted to go into this study is, all right, it's not just, you know, I hear people say some of the same phrases over and over again. If you pray with enough people, you might hear, and I might be the same way, that they repeat phrases. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, well, I don't want to be the same repeating. What am I really trying to say here? And I've challenged myself of, what am I really trying to say? Because if I can really get behind that to another level, that seems to help out too of, okay, what's behind the prayer? Is it truly that I want to see folks saved? Is it truly I want to see God's name made great? Those are the things that I want to look behind of, why am I doing this?
Sunday was very timely, and that's just the way God works. I've noticed he does things right on that. Because Saturday night, I was praying for this and saying that, you know, you just get, and it's not anything big that, you know, I'm trying to make a big point about here, but you just, things become routine sometimes, and you do go through cycles in your spirituality where, you know, there was a point in time where every morning you had said this in a sermon, and I adopted it, and I loved it, and every single morning, thank you for waking me up, thank you for my salvation. Thank you, and please help me to represent you the best way that I can today and to show others the love that you show. And I did it every single morning. It was as heartfelt as I could be. It was the first thing I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And then after some period of time, I'm still doing it, but they're just words and they're routine. It's just like anything else. And you need to change it up. Well, then sometimes you're changing it up just for changing it up's sakes. And it had gotten to a point here just in the last, I don't know, week or two or whatever it had been that I just kind of felt a little stale, and I just wanted a little spark of some kind. It's not that I've drifted from God or I don't love God. It's just that I feel like I just hadn't had that spark lately. And then Sunday's sermon was a big part of that, you know. He shows up just, you know, right at the right time and gives you that little shot in the arm that you need. And it's like, right. And that in itself is what kind of reinforces the faith. And you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm right here always. And, you know, and there's been a lot of this, and I don't know, it's been such a long couple of years for me in a lot of ways. And the last few months in particular, I think I've started to see some things come together in ways that make more sense. There's a scene from the movie Armageddon. I don't know. I might have said this on the show one time. They're getting ready to go up to destroy this comet or whatever it is. And he talks about the president speaking, and he's talking about all of our battles with each other and all of these things that prepared us for this moment. And it's this big, you know, epic thing. But I've looked back at things of the last, you know, few months. I've looked back the last few years and noticed all the little things that I hated at the time and how big of a role they're playing now in different things and how cool things are working out in different ways. Now, not the way I meant for them to, the way I wanted them to. But I know a few shows ago, I remember saying I was praying for, I'd said a prayer for a meeting, but I didn't even really know what I was praying for. It's like, I don't really care that much. I just feel like I probably should pray for it. Well, it didn't occur to me till the other day. I got exactly what I wanted out of that meeting in hindsight. It worked out exactly the way I wanted. I didn't even think about it for probably a week or two that prayer had been answered, because frankly, it just didn't seem that important. It just, my priorities aren't what they were before. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that meeting was not the most important thing to me that day. Whatever it was, probably the show, whatever I was doing that day. Yeah. But ironically enough, while I've not been paying attention to it, all those prayers have been answered. So he answered all the prayers that I was praying in February, March, April. I didn't even notice him answering them, because by the time he answered them, those things weren't important to me anymore. Something else was more important. And while I was praying for those things then, he wasn't answering them. He was answering prayers that I wasn't praying, but probably should have been. And because he was sanctifying me then, which is probably what I should have been asking for. He's doing a whole lot of work on that stuff then. And then I look up one day and it's like, this is a lot of the stuff that I was asking for before. And then I've been able to notice how much of that's come from stuff I didn't like at the time. Mm-hmm. you know, the biggest thing that I have got going for me right now with work, and things are starting to come together with that a little bit. One of the best things that I've got going for me is that I got totally hosed on my deal when I tried to sell my business a couple years ago.
Right.
And that terrible experience helps me to relate to the people that I'm working with a lot better. Yeah. And it's just, it's crazy to see how he works that stuff out. And then you get to a point where it's like, you know what? I ain't praying for nothing except whatever you want. You just don't let me get in your way.
That's a big thing.
You do what you think you need to do.
I mean, our daily bread, what we pray for. But then after that, it needs to really be, mostly spiritual after that. Of, Lord, what is it that you would have me? And that's what prayer is getting in touch with the Father, praying His will, and seeking His will, seeking His heart.
Yeah.
I had a fast food prayer life. Mm. Went to the drive-thru. I need this, that. Get it on my way.
Yeah. They got your order wrong.
Yeah, and I had to come back.
And they couldn't catch up. They repeat it back.
I asked for pickles. But I really need. But God wanted me to come inside and dine.
Yeah.
Talk about this, When I finally figured out, it wasn't really, my prayer was always for myself. I need this, I need that, I need this, that. But I wasn't really, I had a fast food, I guess, relationship, too. It wasn't like, Lord, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I already knew what I wanted. I already knew, I planned for the next week and everything. But then James, or months or whatever, had my life planned out. But James says,
Don't miss it tomorrow.
Don't worry about tomorrow because you might not even be here.
That's right.
If it's God's will, you'd be here.
That's right.
And to be thankful for today and to work for today, he's already promised me of a future. He's already promised me ultimate life, heaven. He hasn't promised me that everything's going to work out for me. He's promised everything will work out good, or it will work out. But not, it might not be how I want it to work out. And what I've been through is not what I wanted. But you know what? It's what I needed.
That's right. And you look back and you're like, wow, God.
And now I can help a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah.
So at that time, it wasn't worth it. But now I'm glad I went through it because I know how to help people on certain things. So.
That's right.
And it's in the tiny, the micro and the macro we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's in the little details, too, but it's also in the entire process. Your process that you've been through.
I'm on the other side.
You're on the other side of it, and you're seeing other people maybe agonize over something that seems like a big thing to them, but you kind of know that if they saw it from your side, from your experiences, they wouldn't be so upset about this thing, and they would have more peace with it, more understanding, and you want them to have that, and that's where that skin in the game kind of comes from, I guess, is that you have that experience, and now you have that empathy, so you do try to be more patient with them, more kind to them, all those fruits again, and
cheer them on. It gets better.
There you go.
I can remember when, I don't know if it, am I going to survive?
Wow.
Am I going to ever get over this?
Now
I can throw out the lifeline and give it to somebody. Grab the lifeline. You're going to get, just come on
it
over
gets
it.
Better.
Now. It gets better. I'm going to help you.
There's hope.
So.
I like it. And it's just the freedom that you comes with that is, I've got a couple of things right now that, one of them I want to talk to y'all about when we finish this thing up. It's not record appropriate, but I could use some godly advice in one particular area. But I've got some decisions that I've got to make in the next little bit. And there's I've learned that, big decisions are going to come along. And there's two sides of this in a way, right? Like sometimes there's patience and waiting for, I'd asked you the other day a question of like, sometimes when you're asking for guidance from God and he's not answering, I don't mean he's not answering my prayer in terms of not giving me what I want. I'm saying I'm asking him, do you want me to go this route or this route? And he's not answering. And something that I don't know if this is the right answer or not, is what I texted you about the other day, is that sometimes I think God what I've kind of heard from God with it is, you know what? I'm bigger than this decision. It don't matter which way you go. It's not going to get in the way of my plans.
Right.
So there may be a preferred route that he wants me to take with it, but at the same time, sometimes we make big decisions bigger than they really are.
Average decisions a whole lot bigger.
Right, exactly. We've talked about going, you know, plugging in GPS to go to Los Angeles. Right. There's 1,000 routes to get there. I think sometimes, not a universal truth, not a perfect analogy, but I think sometimes God says, just head west. It don't matter. There's 74 different interstates between here and there. As long as you're heading west, I'm going to get you there. Okay, now there is probably a preferred path, but in some cases, maybe I don't know if there is necessarily always one exact, this is where you have to go. It could be, hey, pick whichever route you want to go, the scenic route, you can go through the north, you can go through the south, don't matter, as long as you get there.
Right.
But that peace, that freedom that I talk about is that, you know, I really don't want him to just give me free rein. I want him to tell me every step because I've seen his ways work out a lot better, and I don't want to have that freedom in it.
And I think that's the beauty of a relationship with the Lord is sometimes he is going to give you a little bit of freedom. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what we talked about, or what I talked about is that's kind of where maturity comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, I don't have to know every little answer, or I don't have to, at the same time, I'm going to turn and give everything over to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think he tells us every little step, every little day.
Yeah.
If he does, that's not a walk.
Yeah.
That's being handheld.
That's right.
That's not trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's times that he wants you to, you know, he may not, he's going to be silent from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's silent, then you got to go back to what he said last and remember what he said last and carry out what you know is right. And I think that's the key is what do you know, what the scripture says, and go from there. And then sometimes there are just some decisions. It's not necessarily a spiritual thing.
Mm-mm.
It might just be left or right. And
yeah.
It might not be something that you have to agonize over.
Your answer to me in the text was I liked your analogy with, you know, what I eat for breakfast.
Yeah.
He very well may not care if you get sausage or bacon. Now, if the bacon's going to make you sick,
or
then he might give you an instruction.
10 pounds of it.
Right.
All right, that's gluttony.
Right. But I think his answer to some of those questions might be, again, back to the L.A. analogy, I don't really care which interstate you get on, just make sure I'm with you. Yeah. You know, make sure that
or make
you're
sure
not
I'm,
doing it on
yeah,
your own.
I'm the one that's leading you to that.
Yeah.
And once he gets you on that interstate, he may not, he might not say nothing until, you know, 3-5 states later on that analogy.
Yeah. I was joking about it the other day, saying, like, he's got the Middle East to deal with. He's got some other stuff. And sometimes he may not want to talk to us about what we have for breakfast. Just eat something.
I think for me, Proverbs 16 says it for me personally, that I determine my path, but he directs my foot.
Yeah.
How to get there.
Yeah.
Yep.
In other words, I want to do this, but he actually has control.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to be a doctor, but he really has control of what I end up actually being.
Yeah,
so that's how I interpret that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you interpret it differently?
No, I think you're exactly right. But I think there are times too that you just have to be real careful in that of, all right, this is him directing my path. This is him, you know, and I think that's where, again, I wish there was a way that I could say, all right, so this is what Christianity is about.
Yeah.
And this is how it always works.
Yeah.
No, there's going to be times that you hear everything you need to hear. There's going to be times that you make decisions that you're going to have to trust that, no, this is what he said. This is what I know that his heart is. I'm going to go that way. And so, don't expect a verbal command every time you need to do something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, never give me a verbal command.
Yeah. Or any, or a still small voice, anything like that. But I mean, I think it's one of, don't expect that. Look, as a pastor, you seek the Lord, you seek for, okay, Lord, where do you want to take us next as far as a sermon series or what's the next? And oftentimes it's just, you have to go by, well, Lord, we feel like where the church is, now's a good time to let's focus on prayer. Mm-hmm. Since we're through with phase 1/rebuild, now we've got a little bit more rebuild. Now prayer's, you know, it's always been essential. But now it really is, because now we're beginning to say, all right, now we're pushing back to darkness, not just fixing hallways and roofs.
My experience has always given me what I need, not what I wanted, Not oh, yeah. any time. Yep. Not how much I wanted, just enough. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to Moses, the children of Israel. They got just enough for one day, mm-hmm. except for, I think, on Saturday or something.
They had, they had to get on Sabbath, they get 2 days.
Just enough.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It didn't let, if you got too much, it'll rot. He just wants you to have, because a lot of times we get, I do personally, if I know my future, I get arrogant. I do not trust in God. I trust in myself. If I go day to day, I trust in God. But if I start planning my, you know, well, I want to be here. And I do to a certain extent. But it's easy for me to become self-dependent and not rely on God. I have to constantly guard myself against that.
And maybe that's where, you know, and I'm trying, and in all your ways acknowledge him, mm-hmm. and he will direct your path. And I think that's the thing is, I'm acknowledging that he is Lord and he can call the shots, he can pull the plug, he can do whatever he wants to, how he wants to. And Lord, I'm going to touch bases with you and stay in contact with you because that's that personal relationship.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he's going to direct your path. And mm-hmm. that's where, again, all your ways acknowledge him. That means I'm surrendered to him. In everything.
Yeah. The empathy thing was an interesting one, and kind of we've touched on this in a few different places maybe, but when you said you don't want to repeat the same mistakes of the past, I've been reading in, I mean, the last 2-3 weeks here, you got this perfect storm, right? So things are starting to get a little better in some things that I've been praying about for a long time, so that's one thing. And then I've got this, okay, well, I'm trying real hard not to lose that closeness, and what's one of the big motivators behind it? Because I'm reading Judges, and I'm reading Joshua. Joshua and Judges, boy, you see over and over and over again, people, he delivers them, and they turn away from him. He delivers, they turn. And it's real easy to judge that and think, you idiots. Okay, we talked about this on a show, though, about 6 months ago, that I said, you know, honestly, I've done that before. You cling close to God for a while, and then you get through the storm, and then you kind of let go a little bit, and then all heck breaks loose. And I'm just praying like crazy, don't let that happen again. Please don't let me get out of your sight this time.
It happens all the time.
But so how easy is it to judge the folks in Judges? Mm-hmm. And, well, these things were happening 300-400 years apart. The people that were making the mistakes were making the mistakes their ancestors generations ago made. I'm not even learning from my own mistakes from 2-6 months ago. You know? You can't judge them for that. And same thing applies to today when you look at somebody else doing something you don't like. How long has it been since you probably made the exact same type of mistake? It may not manifest itself the same way, but mm-hmm. you know, this person's being selfish. When's the last time you acted selfishly? This person's being mouthy. When's the last time you smarted off? You know, everybody else is having the same struggles you are, and that empathy is what keeps you from...
I think a lot of times, me included sometimes, I think that my sin's not as bad as yours.
Well, that's 10% of the time. The other 90 weren't even your fault. 90
Yeah, that's a lot of Christians, you know, I've seen a lot of Christians that were delivered from the same thing.
That's right.
Beat some other people down, or going through the same thing, beat people down.
Yeah. Or they may not even be going through the same thing.
Yeah.
They just look down on yours because, well, yours is worse.
When it's bad. That's
you hear people say that. Well, at least I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least I don't do that.
I heard you say that. When did I hear you say that?
Did I say it?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as you.
At least I didn't do this. At least I ain't like Kenny.
Well, guys, enjoy as always. Missed y'all.
Hey, man. Thank you, Kenny. Good to be back.
Mama said you were the star of the show a few weeks ago. She said, boy, Kenny was on a roll. I said, you must have heard the one where he said 90% of the sins were his fault.
Yeah, 90% of the sins are my
fault. She said, yeah, that was the one. I said, yeah, he was the star of that show. Yeah. Well, you were on a roll that day.
I have fun with Kenny. He's a blast. He's a blast.
I got to hurry.
And I thank the Lord for him. He's a valuable friend. And, man, I tell you what, he's a good deacon, too.
I'll make sure that you...
Sunday night.
When are those salary reviews coming up?
Check out.
Yes. His handicap? His golf game, like mine. That's his handicap. I shoot a 90, usually. I can do 90. Really? And he'll be... I might be 92, and he'd be a 90, or next day he'd be a 91, I'd be a 90. He's never gotten below 90 much.
I'd like to add up your scorecard one day and see if that's true.
Preachers can't lie.
I mean, we play pretty straight up.
Yeah. You're keeping your own score, right?
So that, well, that, I mean, that, you got Daniel and Nate's there to make sure that they don't do too bad.
Okay.
I hit the ball a long way. I just don't know if it's going to be in the middle.
Right, yeah.
A long way, the wrong way.
That's right. And that's what I do. That is my game.